The our dear friend Chris Miller passed on this morning, so for your knowing. You might like to turn in your Bible to John chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Again, looking to you, thank you. Thank you that we can do so. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the Gospel of John, as we're coming to the end of the upper room discourse, chapters 13 through 17. And in the process, God is giving to the 11 and ultimately the 12, and thus to us, the assignment. God is showing his marvelous grace. In a world that Israel rejected him as a nation, the world rejected him and crucified him, etc. And God is going in his wonderful grace to give a little space before the wrath of God. And he's demonstrating that, how? By showing his resurrection. They don't believe. The only sign he's going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The only thing he's going to show in these days is his marvelous, the empty tomb, by way of a believing heart that gives residence to his marvelous person. And that's what he's doing. And thus, chapter 17, verse 18, the assignment. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And that's our assignment, to represent him in a most wonderful way. That's what the local church does. It's the body of believers meeting together to demonstrate to neighbors, friends, people. Why are they there together? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has risen again the first day of the week. And here we are assembled together to remind ourselves and others that want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is the living and only God. He's the only Savior, and therefore here we are, to know and to grow. Now, having said that, we then read verse 21 to 24. God gives seven purposes, purpose. He gives a sevenfold purpose, each of it building, as we share together. So, when we came, and all of it involves a unique oneness, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are all one in essence, nature, being. They're one. One essence, one nature, one being, and yet three. A oneness that we can only know it to understand it, something else. It's an awesome thing. God, not any oneness, husband, wife, no. No, it's a oneness that surpasses everything that we could understand. God has taken the believing heart and made that believing heart in these days of grace, in Christ Jesus, in his body, part of that oneness. That's awesome. That's all I can say. That's awesome. You can say, I understand? No, you're not. Secondly, God's going to send us in that oneness. Having that oneness, that's a glorious oneness. God is glorious in his oneness. That oneness is to show itself in glory. The glory is that which manifests itself. It gives appearance to the reality. Appearance to the reality. Glory. The glory of the sun, we read it, sun, moon, stars. Each has their own evidence. The flowers have the evidence of their glory. They're just flowers. But when you see them in the light, the colors and that, it stands out like this. Glory. The believing heart is to enjoy the glory of God in such a wonderful way that the world sees that. Thus, verse 22, 17:22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them purpose, another purpose, that they may be one, even as we are one. Uniqueness, uniqueness. So it's a uniqueness. And we've done all of this a little bit, never like we could, never like we ever will till we get there. But, verse 24, Father, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's what I want them to be. Hang on to that part. I want them to be where I am. That's, I will that. God, now God, that's God the Son in his perfect humanity. God the Son talking to God the Father. I will it. He wills. The Father wills. The Son wills. The Spirit of God wills. Wills. Now, to volition, will. God says his wonder to Moses, to the people, I am, Exodus 13, Exodus 3, I am that I am. What does a human say, made in his image and likeness? I am. Each of you can say, I am, for you truly is. I am. I ought. I'm morally responsible. God is morally, wonderfully responsible. I righteous, etc. I am, I ought, I will, volition. God, us humans made in his image and likeness. I am, I ought, I will. Hang on to that. Now, it's God willing, volition, making a determination to do, to say, to be. I will, said the God to the Father. That's awesome. The Son says to the Father, I will. Now, catch that part. Or if I can, please, John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, picking up, please, you'll see it directly in the light of the context we did. Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will, there's your little word, the will of him, Father, that hath sent me to finish his work. God said, the God the Son, and Jesus Christ, I will, Father, I will your will. I want to, I determine, I choose, I will your will. That's what I want. Chapter 5. And chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, said the Lord in his perfect humanity. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I am honoring. What are you saying in your perfect humanity? I honor the will of the Father. That's the reason he's there, to go to the cross, etc. Over, if I can, please, to chapter 6. And may I pick up, please, in verse 38. I'll read verse 37 since it's so helpful. all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise, positively, will not cast out. In other words, they come, I'm not going to send you away. Verse 38. For reason, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will. I'm not going to do, that's not my perfect humanity isn't the issue. I'm here in a perfect humanity in order to God the Father's will. And not to do my own will, verse 38, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'm not going to lose one person. Verse 14. For this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm all going to do this in a most wonderful way. So God's wonderful, wonderful will. Now, so what's, hang on, one other place to help you differently, over to John, and John chapter 21. And remain after our Lord's resurrection, he's talking to Peter and John and that. And here in verse 21, Peter seeing him, thou Lord, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? He's pointing to the apostle John. Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, if I will, if I choose, I will, I make a decision, that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, I could will that John, we shared it, that you want to know about the Lord's return, he could have kept the apostle John till he comes. So I got to tell you, so you say, how close are we to the end? I don't know, but I know way back here, he could have come and all these things would have happened. So far, we're way up here and all these things are happening. And I will. So that's what you want to get that. God, what did you say? If I want John to keep living till I come, that's my choice. Verse 23, then went the saying aboard among the brethren, that the disciples should not die, yet Jesus said unto him, ye shall not die. He never said he shall not die. He said, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? That's what he said. Don't misinterpret it. He said he could keep him from dying. I never said that, he said. I said I could keep him till I take him up. Dying wasn't the issue. We tend to add and twist things. Pay attention to what he says. Now, having said that, awesome, awesome thing, God wills it. Back over to John chapter 15. Where do I fit in? Where do you fit in this business of willing? God's, that's awesome. God the Father wills it, God the Son wills it, God the Holy Spirit wills it, that you'd be saved. I don't know how much more you want. That's his will. What are you going to do? Nothing to say. You can talk, say a thousand theological problems over your head. You're not going to fix anything. You could say them for 1,000 and write 10 books. Write 1,000 books. 10 arguments. When you're done, God wills this to Peter, John, whatever. What are you going to say? Now, chapter 15, where do we come in? The believing heart. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, bind in the branch, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And it shall be done unto you. Your will. God the Father's will. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. and my heart and your heart, I line up with God. I will what you do. What did our Lord Jesus do in his perfect humanity? He said, I don't do my own will. I only will the will of the Father. What do? We will the will of the Son and the Father. I will the Son, whatever the Lord wants, whatever the Father wants, I will it. That's what I want for my life. We've said that 10,000 different ways, it seems. 1 John. In the first epistle of John, and you will notice, in 1 John chapter 2, picking up, please, in the light of the world, love not the world, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, verse 17, and the lust thereof, it's all going to disappear. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, what do I want? I want God's will. What is God's will? That you be saved wonderfully and honor God in a most awesome way. Chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And you recall, I'll read verse 13. These things have I written, so that we're reading them, unto you that believe in this name of the Son of God, purpose that you may what? Know what? That you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And by the way, verse 14, and this is the confidence, the boldness, the freedom to come and speak before God and to God. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, not my will, your will, his will. What did our Lord do in his perfect humanity? He honored the will of the Father, not in his, in his perfect humanity, perfect. Perfect man honors the Creator in a perfect way. Verse 14 again. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How can we share that? You know. Well, if you want God's will, you want what the boss wants, isn't the boss going to do it? What can I tell you? What are you going to do? I want whatever you want. You're the boss. So what's there to say? God has to do it. I don't have any problem anymore. I just want what God wants. I want God's will for my life. We're his workmanship. We did all these things. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's a wonderful thing. Now, that's God's will. And to, are you getting it? So we're supposed to be looking for God's will. In the problem, the thing, whatever you're facing, you're looking for God's will. What's going to happen at noon? I don't know, but God does. So I want God's will at noon. Lord, come. Whatever. So, Ephesians chapter 5. As my Father sent me, so send I you. So we're going, we're outworking God's will. That's what you're doing. You're his witness. Ephesians 5, in verse 17. Ephesians 5 and 17. I'll even read verse 16 again. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It isn't a picnic. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I ought to know. So I got God's word. So I know what we're doing. We aren't supposed to be stupid about what we're doing. We're supposed to know what we're doing. Know God's will. That's what he wants. That's a wonderful thing. Now, God, as we outwork your will, in your love, we share all this thing. God's love, that's what God is love. And there's no way to explain it except to enjoy it. And so we're in the middle of it, in the oneness, a relationship. Wow. And it's glorious. The flowers, the sun, the moon, birds, bugs. Wow. So what are we doing in this wonderful oneness in the will of God? I want God's will for my life at noon, at 1 o'clock, at 10 o'clock. I want God's will. School, work, home, easy, hard. I want God's will. So in getting God's will, and I'm outworking it in my heart and my head, and God's doing what he does in the whole universe at the same time. And God's doing. And that's a glorious, it manifests. And the John 17:22, I give them my glory. It's that relationship that is to be seen. I give them the glory, my glory, to see it, to see a human heart saved by the resurrected Christ who you can't find or see. But watch that man, a woman, boy, a girl, and you'll see what I'm able to do to save to the uttermost that boy or girl, and see it. And as they, as the believing heart exercises it, it's seen, glorious. Now, back over to John 17. And in John chapter 17, and you'll notice, please, verse 17, 24, 17 and 24. 24, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, everyone that comes to me, I will no wise cast out, all the believing hearts that are there, be with me. What do you want? Here's the end of the, here's the glory. The glory now, the title, God, what are you doing? You're doing something in heaven, for heaven, and you're doing it and showing it on earth. That's us guys, the saved people, the believing believers that have received Christ as a Savior. That's what they're doing. God's showing it, the glory. And the conclusion of that wonderful exercise of being on planet Earth, showing his glory till he comes, has a grand conclusion. I want them to be able to be. I want them to end up. I died for them. They died. Buried. They're buried. I rose again. They're risen. I'm seated at the right hand of God. They're seated. I want them to be where I am. What for? To see my glory. I want them to see my glory. What glory that I put inside of them when I save them? I want them to see the magnificent. Remember our Lord, Matthew 17, at the Mount Transfiguration, he's up there with Peter, James, and John, and he went in his perfect humanity at that time. And he stood there, and God, in his marvelous grace, showed them. And he shone as the sunshine. Glory. And then it was gone. Here we are, just ordinary flesh and blood, and not much to look at. No, we aren't. We aren't. We're just dust. But, wow. Wow. I want them to see. I want them to see the wonderment of my glory. Verse 24, that where I am, they purpose, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to be able to see my wonderful, wonderful glory, that I am there, seated, present tense. I want them to see it. I want them to be able to behold it, to be a spectator, to behold, to be a spectator, to take and gaze upon. I want them to be able to gaze upon the glory of his marvelous person. Now, you have to hang on. Now, in the process of that, I'm going to go back to the disciples before our Lord was crucified. And before our Lord was crucified, our Lord would show all of his wonderful, he was showing God. Let me show you that. Over if I can, please, in your what you're looking at. Over if I can to John, John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, picking up in the light of the context, if I can, verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore, his half-brothers and sisters, half-brothers, therefore said unto him, Depart thence, and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. In other words, we've had enough works. Go to them. Go show them. Go show them your wonderful person, his half brothers and sisters. Now they're going to get saved, but you have to wait. They're going to show them. Go show them. Go show them your works. Why? You'll show them. Hang on. Chapter 12. And chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me, that's the Father. Verse 45. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So what's the whole point? That he would demonstrate God's wonderful person in his perfect humanity, God the Father, as we've done all these things. Now, to show his perfect humanity. Wow, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what he's going to do. And the works and everything he did pointed to him. And just think, if you were one of those privileged disciples that spent 3 1/3 years with him, think of you then. And all the time you're watching him do, heal. More than one time. He's walking in the water to us from the boat. And we're in the little boat, fishing. He's walking in the waves. Wouldn't that make an impression upon you? I mean, I got to tell you, I'm impressed. His works, everything he did, his healings by the thousands, we don't even know. It just says he healed. There's 15,000 people, and he healed them. They didn't care. They just wanted to get fed, and it didn't matter. All the wonderful, wonderful, the 40 years in the wilderness with the nation of Israel, 40 years, just about 40 years in the wilderness. There they were. Wow. Do you know what? They never got, for the most part, they never really caught on. The atmosphere they were in, the cloud by day, the fire by night, endless water, endless food, endless everything. They never caught on. All of that he did, you would think he'd say, wow, but they don't. I don't even read thank you. Shouldn't you see thank you somewhere? Shouldn't you find a thank you? Where's the thank yous? You see, it's us humans. And you say, well, if God just do it, show me. No, we're so stubborn and stupid, we are. So if you show us, say, no, you won't. If your heart's set, you don't want to know, you aren't going to know. Even if it's clear as day to you, you won't know. You don't want to know. You have to want to know. You have to want to see. You have to want to see the flowers. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And Luke chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 48. Remember the disciples on the Emmaus Road, etc. And there they are going down the corridor. And all the people that came together into the... that's different. Hang on. And all, this is the people, this is looking at the crucifixion, making a comment on it, as it were. I'll read verse 47 for a little better context. Now, when the centurion saw that was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man, a righteous man. And in verse 46, and when Jesus had cried unto with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, verse 48. And all the people that came together to that sight, they looking at the crucifixion. All the people that came together, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. How could you see not the glory of that event? In other words, it's an awesome event. And you can't, it's a horrible thing, a necessary thing, but it's there. And you see the manifestation, the impression that is made by such action and such activity. Wow. So therefore, conscious of it in a most wonderful way. The glory which thou hast given me, because you love me, and therefore the foundation is laid for God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful will to be outworked. God wants us to be able to finish, to be able to get to the point where being full of grace and truth, we're going to be able to see him. Now, and jumping ahead a little bit, I want you to think, God, one of the most glorious times when God spoke the loudest, when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the first thing God said was a baby's cry. How loud was that little cry that God said? And God cried like a little baby. Hang on to that for tonight. Like a little baby. God, I want you to see my glory. I want you to see. But God, I want you to see it. But where is it? I want you to see it. Father, make sure they get there. I want to show them the marvelousness of your saving grace and what you've done in dying on the cross and saving a whosoever that would believe. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would. So here they're looking at God's wonderful, wonderful person, and God's going to go in his most, most wonderful way and show his most awesome person in a awesome way. Now, and he's going to show his wonderful glory and his wonderful grace and all that he's doing. Now, having said that, here's the glory of God to be manifested and made clear. And for the sake of just doing it, needs to be always done, as it were. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. So you can see it, right? Eventually, all of it stays with you in a different way, and you see better than you ever did, and understand better than you ever did. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And you will notice, the devil wants to go and make sure that no one understands what we're looking at. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? Verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? So they don't believe, so they don't see. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the, what? Glory of God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive God's awesome, wonderful person, His glorious person, a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, when I receive Christ, it isn't based on your feeling, it isn't based on your anything. It's based that you paid attention to the instructions. You did what you were supposed to do, instructions. And when you follow the instructions, whether you're vomiting, how's that? If you follow the instructions and you push the right button, doesn't the answer come up? If you push the right button, but you don't feel good, but you push the right button. You honor God's word. You receive Him as your Savior. You did what you're supposed to do. And that, and so if I just need to understand, that's when I push the button, I got the answer. When I received Christ as my Savior, I got saved. Now, therefore, verse 6 again. God, when I received Christ as my Savior, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we're able to go and enjoy God's awesome, awesome person in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to enjoy Him and get saved. Why are we saved? Not because you feel it. That's why we're supposed to understand what it says in His book. Understand the instructions. Understand the relationship. You can't look at space. And you can't look at the stars and get it. You're going to have some information. Stars tell us a wonderful thing about God, but they don't tell us about God. You have to go to the Word. God gives His Word so we can understand about God. That's why we got the Bible. And therefore, God, you're going to show your wonderful, glorious person. But God, we don't see it or feel it. But you're going to trust me, and it's going to outwork it. If you believe, you want God's will for your life outworked, and that unique oneness is going to be enjoyed, even though you don't understand it. You're going to participate in it, and it's going to outwork itself. And you won't even know it. You won't even say, I didn't feel any power. But God was using you at a given time, in a given way, to say things, do things, be things that you never even thought about. And God was doing something. You handed out a tract to somebody somewhere, and you don't know why you did it. Something dropped on the floor. It dropped on the floor. I don't know where it is. But God dropped on the floor. The lady comes by that would have never picked it up, talked to you, but she picked it up and looked at it, and she takes it home and reads it and gets saved. God's doing what He's doing, a wonderful way. God said, I want you to get there and see the glory of what was going on inside of you. Chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man, physical body, with all its ups and downs and ins and outs, the outward man perishes, it's dying. Yeah, that's right. And Chris Miller already had his time. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For reason, our light affliction. In this physical body with all its ups and downs, its ins and outs and everything else that's cuckoo in it sometime. And our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of what? Glory. And that relationship you think is nothing. If you don't use it and don't exercise it, you end up with wood, hay, and stubble. You're supposed to be exercising and enjoying being saved. And now what you do, you thank God. Look to God. His wonderful forgiveness and grace. And you're doing it. And you go through the mumps and the measles and the diseases and everything else. So what? So what? You have to die. So if the Lord doesn't come, so what? And that's why the Lord said, don't worry about body and death. Please don't tell me, God, this is my body. No, that, hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For reason, you are bought with a price. His death is precious blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's God's. It's just an earthen vessel. That's right. But, back over to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And may go to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen, clay, dust, vessels. Yeah, that's what you got. You say, well, why not? No, God did it that way. He didn't. Flesh and blood, we read it in your scripture reading, 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It just can't happen. So don't try to make, it isn't about this. You have to live with this. But he said, the glory which is in you. You're not these hands and arms and eyes and everything. They aren't yours, they're mine, said God. They're mine. To work my wonderful will in your life. And you're just nothing, but you're everything. You're there for my glory and honor. And back chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I can't say, but God said, do you see what I see? How does heaven see this? Where does it go? What's happening inside? It's all for heaven. What's it doing? It's showing itself to the world. That's what it's doing. The world says, I don't care, but they crucified Christ, so don't be surprised. They didn't have a problem crucifying Christ. No problem. They have no problem saying, I don't see the Christian. I don't see Christians. I hate Christians. That's fine. Do whatever you want. But the answer, you're answerable to God in the long run when it all comes out. Now, if I can, over in Colossians. I didn't mean to get tied up here, but I didn't get very far, but we'll do this. I hope you get a little bit. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. God said, I want you to see what's going on. And that's what you're going to enjoy. The suffering of this present time, like Romans 8, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which is going to be. God, I want you to see it. I'm seeing anything. I don't see why I should be saved. I don't think I should be saved. That's fine. You'll be sorry. Trouble is, when you're sorry, you can't do anything about it then. 1 Colossians. And in Colossians, I'm picking up, please. And chapter 1, you remember, you know it, the whole wonderful thing. Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, Old Testament, they never knew it, and from generations, but now is made manifest, clear, public, plain, easy to see, manifest in his saints, in us guys. What is it? What is it in us, believing heart? Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Well, what's the mystery? What's the glory of the mystery? Well, among Gentiles, which is where you work, home, go to school, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to, I'm glorious. John 17:22. I give you my glory, but to believers. How are we going to do it, God? Well, I'll give you my glory. And God, you're going to give us your glory. And in the process of giving us your glory in a most wonderful way, Christ in you, the hope of glory, 2 Corinthians 4:6, when you receive Christ, he gives the light of the glory of God in the person of Jesus, in the light of the Father, in the heart. And God, what do you want to do? I want to finish it. I want to be able to show you who was in your heart and who changed your life and made you one in this oneness. Who put you in the middle of this glory? God said, I did. It's glorious where you are. I don't see anything. You walk by how? You walk by faith, not by sight. That's how you go. And you trust God. Can't. I have 30 seconds. Dare I try another? Thank you for that. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're looking to heaven. We're looking where we get our instructions. Our will, the will of the Father, my will, your will, is to will the will of heaven. That's what I want. And God's going to do it. So that's what he's going to do. And verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I need a new couch. Well, maybe you do. But don't get locked into the couch when you and have it override your wonderful relationship to God. That's what's important, whether you have a couch or no couch. That's what's important. Don't lose that. Therefore, verse 3, we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. What's the next two words? In glory. I want you to see the glory. Not that we don't see it. No, but you should. And I'm going to make sure. How are you going to enjoy God's holy, heavenly, happy heaven, unless you understand how glorious it is? I got to quit. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our head and our heart. Help us in every way, God. It's just us. Thank you very, 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 very much, God. Ah, God, I owe you. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Deal with us, deal with the heart of each one. God, that each would know you as their Lord and Savior, and in exercise that relationship for real, and not just be hypocrites or something, but God, to be real and enjoy you and know you in the thick of it all. And our God will thank you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.